Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Very pleasant good afternoon to you. Hope you're staying warm. Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, and Sean Carey. Steve on his way in to the Sunbury Motors Studio, satisfying customers for over 100 years. SMC is where you ought to be. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You can get in touch with us anytime. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. One word, stevejones@wkok.com. We're on social media, too. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. Also, we invite you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. You can find 3 months' worth of shows on our website, stevejonesshow.com, and also the podcast is available on both Apple Podcast, iTunes, and Google Play. Subscribe, and we can get the shows straight to your mobile device not long after our live shows are done, so you can listen to them anytime, anywhere. Appreciate Ben Jones from statecollege.com being with us yesterday. We'll get more thoughts from the some of the best Penn State writers on the beat. Later today, Donnie Collins, the Scranton Times Tribune, will join us. We hope to have Rich Scarsella, Richie from the Reading Eagle tomorrow, and Frank Bodani, York Daily Record, on Friday before we get into our football picks for the NFL Wild Card Weekend. Steelers and Eagles will enjoy their byes this weekend. They will wait and find out who survives the Wild Card Weekend. Steelers will get either Kansas City, Tennessee, or Jacksonville. As long as the Steelers are alive, you can hear them on 100.9 The Valley, and of course the Eagles on Eagle 107. The Eagles game will be on Saturday the 14th, or Saturday the 13th, Saturday, January the 13th at 4:35 will be the Eagles game, Saturday the 13th, and then Sunday the 14th at 1:05 will be the Steelers divisional game on 100.9 The Valley. So I was checking social media a little earlier, a couple of hours ago, had a break, and I noticed that Saquon Barkley is now signed with Rock Sports. Jay-Z has been involved with sports agents. He got into the sports agent business, a few years ago? Something like that. So now Saquon will be represented by Rock Sports. Made that known a couple hours ago. So it's no secret the NFL has experienced a decline in TV ratings over recent seasons. The reasons behind the slide are varied and debated. Some touting politics, ongoing player protests as an influence, and others point to the game's trademark physicality. But football isn't the only thing losing ground on the small screen. A couple of months ago, CNN released a report all of network television is fighting decreased viewership. Forbes released year-end numbers suggesting that the NFL should actually be quite happy where it sits among the TV giants entering the new year. Rundowns of Nielsen's Live Plus same-day data, 37 of the top 50 broadcasts in 2017 were NFL games. Three of the league's playoff matchups, including an NFC divisional round game, the AFC championship game, which of course was Steelers-Patriots, and February's Super Bowl 51. That topped the list of most watched shows. And it even beat the 89th Academy Awards and the inauguration of President Trump. The 74% mark is an increase from 2016. The NFL logged only 28 of the top 50 programs that year, going back to 2 years ago.
This year, at what, 37?
Yes, 37 out of the top 50.
Hmm.
So not doing all that bad.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Yes, the ratings are off.
Yeah.
More and more seats, more and more confusion. And Jack Ham, Franco Harris, and I were talking about this Friday night while standing outside in front of a big Christmas tree about the state of the game. And Franco made the point of that he can't stand, and Jack and I immediately agree with him, Franco can't stand that a primary offensive play now is pass interference. I think I'll just throw it as far as I can, and that's our offense. Really? That's very, wow. I'm impressed. That's why I strongly feel that the NFL, and I felt this for a long time, needed to go to the college rule of a 15-yard penalty. That's what I wish they would do. Kind of take that little carrot off the table. I don't know how you feel about it. I mean, being a big NFL watcher and considering pass interference a big part of the Steeler offense, you're probably not really crazy about
it. If it's a scintillating matchup, I'll definitely watch it outside of a Steelers game. I mean, I didn't watch all that much red zone over the regular season, but it was that rare opportunity on Sunday where there were more 4:25 games than 1 p.m. games to wrap up the regular season. I just decided, since, you know, there was no conflicts, you know, Steelers were finished and Penn State had already played, so I just hunkered down and watched Red Zone for a good 3.5-4 hours.
I watched Red Zone this past Sunday. I mean, I got back from Arizona around, I think I walked in the house around 2, because I had to drop Jack off his car first. So I probably walked in around 2 o'clock. I think I watched Red Zone for the next couple of hours, which is really maybe the second or third time. Now, I tried to watch it earlier in the year, and then I had a problem, and then Comcast, of course, said they would reimburse me for the time losing the channel. I'm still waiting. So, like, hey, people, do what you say what you're going to do. I watched it a little bit during the season, but I definitely watched it Sunday. I also had free time Sunday, too. I mean, you got to remember, it's, you know, that's the other part, too, is that I've been working most Sundays. So I actually had, because we left the hotel at 5:30 in the morning on Sunday, and I was able to get back in time and watch some games. I mean, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Just kind of kicked back, did nothing. I already had the Penn State-Maryland game prepared. So really, I had it all done. I had it all printed off, ready to go. So I put my feet up on Sunday, watched that. Then I got up Monday morning on New Year's Day. Yeah, watched a little bit of the Rose Parade. Started watching the Michigan-South Carolina game and a little bit of the Auburn-Central Florida game. And then I left around 2 to drive down to Maryland. I listened to the rest of it on the radio and got there in time to watch the Rose Bowl. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I've watched some. I'm definitely watching the playoffs this weekend. I'm definitely going to watch the playoffs.
Oh, I will as well. It just seems like the last, I don't know how many years, it just seems like the last several years, a lot of the wild card games weren't really all that competitive. But a nice little juicy menu of pro football this weekend. Should be great.
Yeah. I think it's actually some of the better matchups I've seen.
Yeah, Falcons-Rams, that's great. Carolina-New Orleans, great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I like it.
Me too.
I like the way the matchups played out. So that part's fine. There isn't a matchup there that I'm disinterested in. Like, I remember, did the Chiefs play the Texans last year? Did that sound right? I think that was the
Chiefs Texans, yeah, that's correct.
ESPN, and I had no interest in that game.
Yeah, that was the Saturday 4:30 game last year.
Yeah. This year it's different.
And wasn't that like a 30-0 blowout or something?
Oh, yeah. And it was like, okay, I think I watched like 20 minutes of it. And I said, nah, this isn't. Not for me. Confirmed how I felt. The basketball last night is very hard to win a game on the road when the free throw attempt discrepancy is 34-4. Now, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I am not making really much of a commentary on officiating here. That's not my aim here. Because part of it is, I mean, allow me to be frank with the audience about a couple things here. When I am courtside next to the bench, with the new rule allowing the coaches to go further toward the center line, expanding the coaches' box, it also has meant that I'm getting screened out more than ever. Sometimes by the third official, sometimes by Patrick, when we're there. So my ability at times to maybe see a foul, my ability at times to see if it was not a foul, where suddenly I've got a body in front of me, I'm trying to look around it, and I see the ball, and all of a sudden, like Josh Reeves comes out of there with the ball. Like I'll say, here comes Josh Reeves with the rebound.
I noticed that last night. I was catching the game on BTN, and I was on the way home, and I heard you mention right before tip. Yeah, we're located right next to the team, and I noticed close to a full handful of times. Well, Pat's standing right in front of Steve. It's like I kind of, okay, is he moving like? You're kind of juking one side. I thought you were going to set a pick on Girardi next to try to get a good view.
You try to slip around a little bit to the right if the ball's over. You try to go right. And sometimes you're just standing there. And, yeah, you know, what am I supposed to do? Hey, will you sit down? I can't do that. Trying to work here.
Yeah. So you can't do that. I thought you'd just give him a hey, yo.
Right. And, you know, you can't look at the official. Hey, Larry, will you move? 2 feet to the right, Larry. All right. And so that part, I really can't tell. I mean, how much honesty do you want? But I will say this, in a game, say Penn State had maybe 8 to 10 points in the paint, all right? I could then buy only 4 free throw attempts by Penn State. I'm not talking about the 34 Maryland guy. I mean, Maryland got 34 free throw attempts. Okay, that happens. It's fine. But Penn State only got 4. Now, if Penn State only got 10 points in the paint the entire game, all right, I could buy maybe 4, maybe 6 to 8, maybe, free throw attempts. Because that tells me the kind of offensive game you're playing. In the first 8 minutes of the game last night, Sean, Penn State didn't have any free throw attempts, and nor should they have had any free throw attempts. Because they kept settling for outside jump shots. You're not going to get any free throw attempts doing that. None. But then, the last 32 minutes... Penn State, which had 0 points in the paint in the first 8 minutes, had 26 points in the paint the last 32. And you're telling me that they only got 4 free throw attempts? See, that's my point. Now, if your points in the paint are like 8, 10, you're not going to get a lot of free throw attempts because guess what? You're not working hard enough to get the ball down there. So I can buy into it. But when you get 26 points in the paint and only 4 free throw attempts, you say to yourself, and again, I don't, even though I was sitting right there, I don't have the visual evidence to back this up what I'm saying. I'm just going by my feel for the game of doing this for, you know, I'm into my fourth decade of doing this. So, just based on that experience, it tells me that Penn State should have had more attempts at the line. Now, maybe 12 to 14 attempts at the line, so I'd be another 10, more attempts at the line at least. And believe it or not, another 10 more attempts at the line, Penn State wins the game. If they get 10 more attempts at the line, Penn State wins the game. Just 10. I'm talking like that's five fouls that are two shots. You get 10 attempts. You're going to hit seven. Seven wins. See, the free throw line kept Maryland in the game. Then they got a little spurt. Then the free throw line allowed them to close the game. See, that's, you know, that was the discrepancy last night. Tony Carr's got to be better at what he's doing. You know, yeah, bad night shooting the ball. He was 6 of 23. 16 points, 23 shots, not good. So I always love when people go, hey, did you see? He had 27 points tonight. What a great game. Took 30 shots. Not a good game, right? Okay, don't get enamored by what the final number happens to be. You know, be enamored by the efficiency of it. You know, that's the difference between good basketball and mediocre basketball. Well, 23 shots to get 16 points, not very good. It's got, you know, he had 8 assists last night. Let's give him credit. But there's, I think, a part of Tony has to be at this point, hey, let's take a little stretch here and think pass first and shoot second. Big game coming up with Northwestern on Friday night. They really need it. It'll be at 8 o'clock. Hey, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, your home of Jacksonville Jaguars. No, I'm sorry. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You know, I mean, Jaguars win. They play the Steelers. You got all these Jaguar fans up and down the valley. I mean, it's going to be...
That defense is legit. It is. So, but I was just telling you during the break, if there's a matchup I'd like to see, it would be a rematch with Jacksonville, even though I was at that Jacksonville Steelers game in October, and that was tough. Well, I saw 4 out of the 5 Roethlisberger interceptions. Pick number 5 is when I was getting on board the Clipper fleet to go back to Station Square.
Yes. We'll see. Sue was hoping for the Browns. Yeah, you know him. He just likes to take the easy way out.
Hugh Jackson, one more year. Marvin Lewis, one more year.
Your division keeps getting better. You're not doing anything.
I know.
Wow.
We'll just hang on top. It's all good.
Man, how'd you improve your stock in the division? Well, they kept their coaches. That's like, great. Perfect. Hey, Donnie Collins, next half hour. Andrew Callahan, 4:06. Ken Pomeroy, the master of analytics, tomorrow.
From Learfield, this is Penn State Nittany Lion football.
Long and deep, far side, he goes to Hamilton. Inside the 10, cuts to the 5. Touchdown, Penn State. It'll be Barkley, 10, 15, far side, 20, 25, 30, to the 40, 50. Goodbye, he is gone. Saquon Barkley, 92 yards. Pressure, hit at the 5 by Givens, and down he goes at the 5-yard line. Delivers near corner. Hamilton reaches up in the end zone. He's got a touchdown, Penn State. And the Nittany Lions answer right back. Barkley hurdles for a first down inside the 25-yard line. Now that is a first down with style. The Nittany Lion football team, Fiesta Bowl champions, as they beat Washington 35-28.
Penn State Nittany Lions, Fiesta Bowl champions. When you think sports, think News Radio 1070, WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070, WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Who was that nut? All right. Donnie Collins in a moment, Andrew Callahan next half hour, Ken Pomeroy from Ken Pom, that's right, tomorrow. Looking forward to that. First of all, this day in sports history, 1941, the NCAA Rules Committee allowed free substitution for football players, thus the birth of sub-packages. Work began in the Astrodome in 1962. Tony Dorsett, 99-yard run against the Vikings on Monday Night Football in 83. Lynn Swann declared his candidacy for Pennsylvania governor in 2005. And Chris Johnson, NFL record most yards from scrimmage, 2,509 on this date in history. And the suit made a sale a year ago. Oh, okay. What?
Off and running.
I don't know how that got
in there. Oh, you said last. Oh, last year. Oh, okay.
A year ago. May have been the last one.
I figured one segment his name wouldn't pop up, it'd be this one.
Got to make the most of what you have.
Right.
Hey, let's bring in the outstanding Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. Hi, Donnie. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Steve.
So, how did you think about how the whole thing played out for Penn State, and what do you think it means going forward, Donnie?
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, I think it's important to win that game. I know it's not, you know, it's not a college football playoff game, but you know, you don't want to be the team that goes the two straight, major bowls and doesn't win one. I mean, in Washington, going through that right now, but you know, Penn State goes to gets to the Fiesta Bowl, gets a really good opponent, I thought, and wins the game, and really a game that I thought they commanded from the start. I know it was a touchdown game at the end, but I think Penn State played as well as you could have expected they'd play, and you know, they turned the ball over a couple too many times, but to turn the ball over that many times and you win, it shows how much talent you have. There was a big talent disparity there. So I think that's a pretty good boost going into next year. And you know, everyone knew Barkley was probably going to go to the, going to declare himself eligible for the draft, which he did. And that's a big question mark heading into next year. But I think you saw a lot of talent on the field. For as much talent as they lost, Hamilton to have the kind of game he did, shows the kind of player he is. But there's a lot of depth there, and I think this is a good springboard. I always think the bowl. You probably agree, maybe, but I always think the bowl is a better springboard into next season than it is a capper on the previous season. But I think that's as good a way to go into 2018 as you possibly could have if you're Penn State.
Yeah, I usually go 50-50 on that, Donnie. I always feel like you're finishing a season because of the seniors, but then that jump start, look, it changes. I mean it mentally and emotionally changes the winner program when you win. And you can't put a price on that. And believe me, you know it and you can feel it when you're around it.
Yeah, there's an excitement level now that wouldn't have been there had they not beaten Washington. And it's, you lose the game and now you start thinking, oh, now we don't have Barkley anymore. Now Mike Gesicki's gone and Hamilton's gone. Brendan Mann's as a big part of the line. How do you replace him? Now you stop thinking about how do we replace these guys, and you start thinking about who's going to step in, and these guys have been pretty good all season when they've gotten their chance. And let's see. Juwan Johnson had himself a nice game in the Fiesta Bowl. Let's see what he does going into the next season. It's just a lot more positive outlook on it, like you said. Then now you're looking at, we've lost Barkley. What are we going to do?
Right, and now you look at McSorley, the unquestioned leader of the football team. I mean, we all know the number, 12 for 12 for 193 yards on third down. I mean, that wasn't just great start. That was on third down. When you look at his maturation as a quarterback, Donnie, what have you seen as you've watched him game by game?
He's so clutch, and that's hard to find. I mean, when you have a guy who's when his back is against the wall, he's consistently winning that battle. And I wish I had the numbers, but I did a story on it earlier in the year about what McSorley's done when Penn State's been behind in games, and they haven't been behind too often. But when they're behind in games, McSorley has been, his numbers are beyond unbelievable. And they're not 12 for 12 or under 93 yards. 10 first downs, good, but they're not much off. And that's kind of what amazes me. And we were talking about a little bit in the press box during the game. That performance doesn't surprise you. He does it all the time. He's been a really big time performer in big time games. And I get it. He threw the interception at the end of the Rose Bowl. He turned the ball over a couple times early. in this one. But when it really matters, he's the most impactful player on the field, and he has been since September of 2016. It's pretty remarkable what he's been able to do. And you know, I've heard some people say, you know, you put him in the Heisman talk next year, and I agree with that. I mean, I don't think that's hyperbole at all. I think he's that good a player, and that's the one guy with all, you know, as great as Barkley is, that's the guy Penn State can't lose.
I felt that for the longest time that Barkley made everybody else around him better, including McSorley, but I felt McSorley was the one guy that made Barkley better.
Yes. Yeah, the way that's true. I mean, I can't even expand on that because, you know, you go back and watch some of the games. I was watching a little bit of the Fiesta Bowl earlier. I mean, if McSorley is smart enough in clutch situations to look for Barkley, and he's gutsy enough to make a risky pass and make it a really good one. I mean, he had some really, really great throws on third down, but I think a really big play in that game that everyone forgot about is the first third down. It's the first one. I mean, they have a third and eight or something like that. And,
right.
You know, he finds Barkley with some room to run and makes the perfect throw, steps up into the pocket, fires the ball, and then Barkley's able to run for the sticks, and then they end up scoring on the long pass to Hamilton. But, yeah, he's really, you know, he opens things up for Barkley, too. But just like Barkley opens things up for McSorley. But I think that the biggest thing with McSorley is he knows where his playmakers are at all times, and he has the patience to get him the ball.
I termed it, and you don't have to agree with this at all. I'm just setting up a question. But I termed this in the post game is that in that game on Saturday, I felt like we saw past, present, and future. Past first 2 years of recruiting of James Franklin, yeah, where they never went below 500, but they brought in Haley and Allen and McSorley. Barkley was in the second recruiting class. And then the present winning 20 of 23, and the future seeing all those young players make plays moving forward. That's how I looked at that game as to what it did, where we saw the past come to fruition and pay off, the present being great, and the future being very promising.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, it's... You know, the recruiting classes, I don't, let's see them play first. The recruiting classes speak for themselves. Everybody thinks they're getting some good ones. So you build with that into the future. But I mean, this is, you know, at its heart, still a young team. I mean, you could take Marcus Allen and, you know, Cabinda and, you know, those guys, you know, James always says, I mean, you know, you want to be strong up the middle on defense like a baseball team. And they were.
Right.
But they have so much left to, you know, to kind of fill in there, and you did see, you know, those defensive ends. I mean, Sharif Miller, I was really impressed with him. He came in the second half and had like I thought it was a Garrett Sickles type impact, you know, from the Ohio State game. He had that on Saturday against Washington. I really thought he was a dominant player. So you could look for him in the future as, you know, as a big time part of that. And he's got a couple of years left. He's going to be really good, and there's guys like that all over the place. Johnson,
right?
Johnson's he's been around for. We've been talking about him forever because of the recruiting stuff, and he had such a big season. But you know, he's got a couple of years to go. He's got a lot of improvements to make. And you know, Miles Sanders, he didn't get too much of a chance to show because Barkley played a lot on Saturday. But you know, Sanders down the stretch of the season was really, really great. I don't think they're going to have a big problem being a really good team next year. And if they're going to be really good next year's the year. If you're going to get Penn State, get them next year. Because they're going to be really good in 19 and 20.
Well, but they've got nine back. And nine allows you to go out and have a potentially big year next year to go with the people around them. That's how good I think he is. We have something, a situation that has come up for the first time. And that is with the firing of Rich Rodriguez. It is the first time since the early signing period that now you have a coach let go and a vacancy after recruits have signed. How should that be handled by Arizona? Should they release them? How should that be handled?
I mean, this is one I think that you just said it. I think the NCAA. They can make all the rules they want, but there's always going to be a situation that's And I love the early signing period. I think if you're committed and if you've been committed for 12 months, why let the last month deter you from what you really want to do?
Absolutely, Donnie. I'm completely with you on that.
But at the same time, something like this happens, that's got to be on the school. Arizona's got to say, hey, look, if you want to go, we understand. You committed to the coach. And James said this a couple of weeks ago, and I really thought it was very honest and very true. But he said, and it's something that's going to sound like common sense, but he said, you know, people tell the kids to commit to schools, but that never happens. They commit to coaching. So Arizona's got to sit there and say, hey, look, if you committed to play for Coach Rodriguez, you want to go, you can go. And it's the right thing to do. But I don't know how many rules you can make to prevent or to help a situation like that, because it's something always different is going to come up. There's always going to be some kind of crazy situation, and I think the only way to do this is to make sure, hey, the school knows, do the right thing here. And I think the right thing is to let those kids, you know, have their last month of recruiting and see if this is really the place they want to be. And the other thing, you don't want, if you're Arizona and you say, well, you know, you committed to the school, I wouldn't want a bunch of football players around my school that want to be there. Let them go find out what they, you know, if they could find something better or if that's really where they want to be. Some of them will come back. Some of them probably won't. But, yeah, you said it best. There's no policy to be made here. It's just a do the right thing kind of thing.
Right. It has to be do the right thing. But because when James Franklin came on board, is what, January 17th? All right. Well, they had the signing period is the first Wednesday in January. So he was able to go back to Mike Gesicki and say, hey, Mike, do you want to stick with Penn State? And Mike did. You know, as an example, these are guys that have signed. And that's the difference right there. Any big deal to you? It's an all-SEC championship game, or to you, is it just Georgia versus Alabama?
To me, it's Georgia-Alabama. I don't know what it says about the SEC. I think other than there's a real easy way into the playoff there if you have two really good teams in your conference and a bunch of also-rans. But a lot of people are going to make a big deal out of it. Oh, the two SEC teams, it's going to be the big national media story. But I think they're just the two teams that happen to shake out and play for the championship. If they're the best teams, they're the best team. Doesn't matter where they play. But I think there's a much bigger conversation, obviously, to be had about the tournament itself, about the selection process. But I think once you have this four team tournament, whoever makes it makes it. And the conference, I don't really think matters all that much. To me, because you're put in a spot where you're on neutral fields, you're on, same kind of media spotlight both ways. All the distractions are the same, and you just go out and the best teams make it out of those four games. But I don't know. I think the bigger deal here is that Central Florida beat them both. or beat Auburn, which beat them both.
Beat them both.
Or they'd
right.
be playing in the game.
Right. So who do you think wins the game on Monday night?
Oh, I picked Alabama to win the tournament before the semifinals. So I'll stick with them. They're so good defensively. And when you're that good defensively, when you could dominate in the line of scrimmage every week in and week out, which they tend to do, then you have to be the favorite. Georgia would never have beaten the way they played the first half the other day. They would never have beaten a team as savvy as experienced as Alabama. And I think that this is the game where having a true freshman quarterback comes back and maybe bites them a little bit. So I think it'll be pretty close. I like Georgia. I think they got some of the guys from the Tax Layer Bowl a couple of years ago playing. Terry Godwin's playing really well. So I think they'll be competitive, but I think Alabama in a really, really close, low-scoring 21-17 kind of thing.
Yeah, Carter, Sanders, Godwin, mm-hmm. Sony Michel, they all played against Penn State.
Yeah.
So
Sony Michel was outstanding in the Rose Bowl. That's a Barkley kind of effort in the Rose Bowl. Yeah. I didn't think he had that kind of speed.
Barkley-esque.
Yeah.
That may be something we start saying in future years about future Penn State running backs. He's really Barkley-esque, isn't he? All right, Donnie, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Great to talk with you.
All right, Steve, thanks a lot.
Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. Next half hour, Andrew Callahan at 24/7 Sports. As we continue today, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, great to have you with us. Next half hour will be Andrew Callahan, 24/7 Sports. Ken Pomeroy, the master of basketball analytics. I think it's something the NCAA Tournament Committee should take a longer look at than the RPI. I think the RPI has become a rather outdated mode for as to where teams stand. It's still blurted out by fans left and right as if it's like, you know, well, I'm going to show off to my friends and tell them, hey, I saw the RPI, blah, blah, blah. The RPI is kind of a junk stat. Actually, it's still used, by the way, by the NCAA committee, but not as much. It's not part of their gospel as much as it used to be.
That's the thing. I mean, when you're going into, you know, toward Selection Sunday, and if you see a team with a record of, like, let's say a 21-10 or a 23-9, and I mean, that kind of stands out a lot more than your RPI, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, part of that deals with the analytics of how you play the game, you know, what kind of balance do you have offensively, what did you do against certain opponents, where they're ranked, and so forth. Take, for example, Penn State lost last night, and I talked about the free throw disparity. And the free throw, you know, and that's not unusual, by the way, for Maryland. Maryland, they came in with 253 free throws made versus the opponent attempting 194, okay? So, and we pointed that out in the broadcast, just, you know, to be fair about that, that's been part of Maryland's M.O. But Maryland also came in the KenPom numbers at 31. Penn State came into the game at 41 out of 350. So playing at home as a 31 versus playing on the road as a 41 in that, Penn State still should have won the game. The free throw numbers what swung it, but Ken breaks everything down. I mean, everything down.
I just remembered Nathan Davis of Bucknell, big fan of KenPom. I should text him, let him know he's going to be on the show.
And most coaches are. You know, I mean, he'll break it down so far as what lineup works best together. And I mean, that's how far he'll break it down. Not only that, but like they enter stuff quickly. I mean, I could go. I mean, I could go in if I did not last night. When I got here last, when I walked in the house last night, I recorded update shows. I recorded something for the Jordan Center scoreboard. I had to record something for the TV show, and then you asked me to record something for about Jim Tarman. So that's what I did when I walked in last night. So I didn't look at the KenPom numbers last night. So we'll talk with him tomorrow. Because, I mean, and they're quick. I'm talking like that night, they've got numbers. Right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.